الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم We've been speaking about filters over the past few weeks. And I mentioned very early on that filters have the ability to do, to separate things. And no filter is ever perfect, but filters are usually gauged on the ability to separate things based on some percentage, like, you know, this is 99.9% efficient or 99.99% efficient. And you'll see this, that scientists are constantly striving to be able to filter one thing from another. Even in the case of engineering, like I mentioned a few weeks back, or maybe a couple weeks back, when you pick up a vacuum cleaner, in particular, I think we had bought a vacuum, and I saw the box in the office, and it had mentioned that the filter was filtering up to 0.2 microns, which for me, I mean, micron is extremely thin, but I'm familiar with microns because we deal with microns in our microscopy when we look at specimens. And a micron is even thinner than the edge of a slice of paper, super, super thin. So to go down to 0.2 microns was amazing that the air could be filtered to that degree. But anyway, I mean, it just reminded me, and I reminded all of us, that we are all basically acting like filters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a pure heart. We're born with a pure heart. That's the nature of how we're born. In fact, it comes in hadith that a person is born basically in a state of Islam. They're born in a state of submission. And whether a person achieves that pure heart by birth and then, you know, continues to maintain its purity, or the person achieves that pure heart by entering into the fold of Islam, where they get a brand new heart, essentially a brand new spiritual heart, or whether a person attains that pure heart by enacting the tenets of deen, making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness for any mistakes they might have made, allows a person to attain a pure heart. Entering into various acts of worship, like Ramadan, allows a person to attain a pure heart. So pure heart is the basal state. You know, it's the underlying state of the human being. We're born with a pure heart. A person who submits and enters into the fold of Islam gets a pure heart. A person who begins to practice the various acts of religion, or who makes seeks forgiveness for their sins from their Lord, they attain a pure heart. And that pure heart, the challenge is not getting a pure heart. The challenge is maintaining its purity. Getting a pure heart is easy. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person really is remorseful and begins to seek forgiveness for their mistakes, they can wipe away all of the mistakes of their heart. That's easy. It requires a little bit of remorse and a little bit of concern, but it's relatively easy. You don't have to have an open heart surgery. And in fact, I would argue it doesn't even give you a pure heart. It just changes the physical heart. But maintaining the pure heart's the difficulty. That's the actual challenge. How many times do we come into a gathering where we walk away remorseful, or we walk away renewed, or we walk away with a new hope? That happens. That happens in our lives. But that challenge is when you leave the gathering. How am I going to then maintain that purity? How am I going to keep the heart the way it was? How am I going to be able to allow it to be, you know, untainted? And that challenge occurs when you leave the doors of the building. We go out into the society around us, and we have to make decisions. We make decisions about who we interact with. We make decisions about how we behave. We make decisions about what friends we keep. We make decisions about the financial transactions that we engage in. We make decisions about how we're going to share what Allah has given us, whether that be our wealth or our time or our energies. We make decisions about all these things. And by doing so, what we're really doing is we're filtering the world around us, because when we interact with the world, our interaction with the world is essentially the conduits that have access to our hearts. The heart doesn't just get tainted by walking around. The heart gets tainted when the five senses interact with the world, and if they so choose or are driven towards something that is not other than pure, then that interaction brings impurity into our hearts. So when I speak that which I'm not supposed to speak, that's the conduit that allows things to come into my heart. When I see that which I'm not supposed to see, or listen to that which I'm not supposed to listen to, or go to a place where I'm not supposed to be, there's a transaction occurring. And that transaction is resulting in something coming into my heart. Now, if it's a pure transaction, then purity enters into my heart. And it grows, and the flower of Islam develops, and the fruits of the beauty of the, you know, millennia. We're talking about millennia, you know, the tried and true tested method from the Prophet Adam all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, that's the whole history of humanity, basically. Adam was the first human being, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the religion which is going to last to the end of time. The tried and true method, tried and true method for all of humanity is to recognize the transactions of purity and engage in those transactions to maintain a pure and pristine heart. Because when a person shows up on the day of judgment, you want to know what's going to happen on the day of judgment? You don't need to make a big list that I did this and I did that and this is my life and this was fortunate, this was unfortunate. Just look at the heart. Just look at what's in the heart. If you took the heart and you squeezed it, you know how you take like a wet towel or a wet rag and you squeeze it and whatever's in the rag comes out? Take a sponge, okay? If you take a sponge and you wipe up milk and you squeeze the sponge, milk is going to come out. If you take a sponge and you wipe up blood and you squeeze it, blood is going to come out. You take a sponge and you wipe up water and you squeeze it, water is going to come out. So the heart's the same way. The heart is a sponge. Whatever we interact with, when we see something, that gets absorbed by this sponge. When we say something, that gets absorbed by this sponge. When we go somewhere, that gets absorbed by this sponge. And all that's going to happen one day when we stand before our Lord is that that sponge is going to be squeezed. And everything in that sponge is just going to come out. And we won't, you know, it won't be confusing or complicated on that day. You don't need a big book to list every single deed. The proof will be in the pudding. The proof will be in the pudding. So we as human beings, we recognize that this is this heart. This is the battlefield of purity. This is what we want to keep pure. And if this is pure, then our passions are pure. Because remember, we interact with the world around us. That gets absorbed by the heart. Whatever's in the heart, it energizes the rest of the body. If I'm passionate about sports, I'm constantly playing, thinking, doing sport-like things. It drives me to put on the jersey of my favorite player. It drives me to go to the internet to check what the score is of the latest game. It drives me to take my feet and walk to the stadium and wait in line for the tickets for the game. It's driven by the heart. The heart is what gets impassioned. The heart is what drives the human. Whatever the heart loves to do, it applies itself towards that. So the equation is very simple. We have a pure heart. If we keep it pure, we're driven to good and purity. We have a heart. If we allow it to become tainted and to absorb the effects of the environment around us, then it will drive our limbs to do things that we won't be proud of. So at-taqwa ha-huna. Taqwa is right here. It's right in the heart. God consciousness, it's in the heart. So we as human beings, what does the challenge lie? The challenge doesn't lie to try to be someone else or try to do open heart surgery and replace the heart. We're talking about the spiritual heart. That can't be replaced. It's something other than the physical heart that beats. Although it's technically, some people Some of the scholars claim that it's located in the same space. But that's the challenge that we all face. That's the challenge that we all face. And the way by which we maintain the purity of the heart is to be filters for every interaction that is around me. When I'm making a decision about who I'm going to spend my night with or my day with or my at the workplace, who am I going to spend my time with, I should ask the heart. I should look at the heart and make my judgment based on that. How will this person benefit me? Or how will this interaction harm me? When I'm going to make a decision about who I'm going to interact or transact with, or what I'm going to eat or consume, or how I'm going to spend my time, it's the exact same thing. The question should be that I have something more valuable than the world and all it contains. I have a pure heart. And I want to preserve that purity, and I have to do what's in my power to be able to preserve it. When anyone has anything valuable, they make every effort to preserve it. People who have wealth, they are constantly thinking about how they can preserve their wealth. I mean, there's these articles that show up in the newspaper. I mean, no one reads the newspaper anymore, but there's these articles that show up in which they talk about how people are building these bunkers, like underground. Very, very, very rich people. What they do is they build these bunkers way underground, right? They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. They put water there. They put like a bed there. They put what they would able to, you know, what they can survive for 6 months. And they build these bunkers underground. And what's the probability that they would ever need to use those? Almost zero, right? I mean, they're not thinking that they're going to go live there. They're thinking that there's a possibility that the world could go into chaos. And if the world goes into chaos, at least I have a place to hide. They're thinking like maybe some asteroid will come and hit the Earth. Maybe there's a nuclear war. I don't know what type of contingency plans they have. And they're basically thinking that this is the way I'm going to preserve myself. This is the way I'm going to preserve my wealth or whatever I'm going to need to be able to survive. Because they value their wealth. They value their lives. They value their lifestyle. So they go to those extremes to preserve because they're able to and they have this value. So what about us? We're the wealthiest people on the planet. We've been given the one gift that the whole world is seeking. I mean, look, why do people eat? They want to be happy. Why do people live in a certain neighborhood? They want to be happy. Why do people buy certain things? They want to be happy. But in the end, we know that a house doesn't make you happy. Clothing doesn't make you happy. The car you drive doesn't make you happy. It's Allah that makes you happy. Allah creates, it's deen, it's purity, it's goodness that actually makes a person happy. So we have what the whole world is seeking. If we actually were to keep our hearts pure, meaning we have the opportunity to achieve what the whole world is seeking. We just have to keep our hearts pure. But that means that we have a challenge, we have to rise up to the challenge of filtering that which we interact with. If we filter our interactions, we will survive and thrive. And if we don't filter our interactions, then we'll just be reading about the people of the past, but we'll never be able to taste the sweetness of iman, the sweetness of faith, the happiness that arrives with faith. That's the challenge that all of us face. And no one is saying that you have to do acrobatics and go to extreme and try to find, you know, some unique opportunity for yourself. It's just in the daily decisions that we make. We try to make the best decisions that we can. And each day is a new day. Each day is a new opportunity. We don't live in the past. We don't worry about what happened yesterday. Each day, we wake up and we say, okay, here's my new opportunity. I seek forgiveness from my Lord for whatever I did in the past and whatever I might have even done yesterday. And today is a new turn. Let me make the best that I can of today. And then we do the best that we can, hoping that Allah will bless us in our efforts. And the next day is the same, and the next day is the same, and the next day is the same. And this is not a sprint, it is a marathon. What's the difference between a sprint? A sprint is something that someone tries to run very quickly. They think that they can start and get to the end very fast. A marathon is immediate. In the beginning, the person recognizes, I cannot run too fast because I'll lose all my energy before I get to the finish line. This is a long race, and I have to pace myself in that race. And if I pace myself, I'll get to the end. Now, some people pace themselves by a light jog. Some people, they sprint a little bit. Some people walk. Literally, there are people who train to walk the marathon, but they know that it might take me an extra hour, but I'm still going to get to the end. In fact, there was a brother who came here. I don't know if he's not sitting here today, but there was a brother who came a couple years back and was telling me all about this like marathon stuff. And I said, okay, so how fast are you going to run? He said, no, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk the whole marathon. Just I'm going to run every, you know, few minutes for a minute, and then I just walk. I said, well, how will you finish? He said, yeah, it takes an extra 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it might be, but I'm going to finish. And there are people that do this. They just want to finish the marathon. Life's the same way. We're not going to become, you know, perfect human beings in one day. And it's not going to happen in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. This is a lifetime process. This is a marathon. We don't want to just try to do everything right away and burn ourselves out so that we don't get to the finish line. We want to pace ourselves just like the Prophet ﷺ taught us to pace ourselves. By saying what? That the best, that the most beloved deeds to Allah are the ones that are consistent, even if they be few. Because even if they're few, you'll still get to the finish line by being consistent. So this is the challenge for all of us. Every day to make an intention that I'm going to be the best person that I can be. I'm going to preserve the goodness in my heart. And then try to make the best decisions that we can. And at the end of the day, reflect back on the day and ask ourselves, what did we do that was good and be thankful for it? And ask ourselves, what did we do that we can improve and seek forgiveness for it? And then the next day, try to make one step closer towards our goal. And in that way, a person will be able to achieve the perpetual peace and happiness and contentment that arises through struggle towards our deen, to struggle towards Allah. It's not a very complicated equation. It's a very simple equation. Deen is not complicated. Honestly, you could summarize it in a very, very few key points. It's not very complicated. Yes, there are some complex matters that the scholars have to understand so that they can guide us when those rare issues come up in our lives. But, you know, good is good and bad is bad. It's pretty clear. There's some gray in between, but good is good is bad. Good is good and bad is bad. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, those things are very, very clear. We just need to know when, I mean, we just need, the challenge lies in aiming for the good and avoiding the things that are bad. And we know when we do something that we shouldn't be doing. You don't need some big fatwa written, you know, in two languages, you know, that's this long. You know in your heart right away when something's not right. That doesn't mean that you can necessarily go off and do whatever you want to do. But often when a person's trying to do what's right and wrong, they know right away. And then they can go and confirm that, but they can feel it very quickly. So this is the challenge of our faith. To let the Islam in our hearts grow naturally. We don't have to go and bring the Islam in our hearts. It's there. We were born with it. Or sometimes maybe we have to find it again, you know, because maybe we left it for some time, or maybe we, you know, we're away from it. But once it's there, it grows by itself. You don't have to do much. If we just keep the environment pure, this is the type of flower that will just grow by itself with just a little bit of prayer every day, a little bit of charity, you know, once a year if we have excess, you know, fasting in the month of Ramadan, these few basic things that we all know and do, these things cause our iman to grow. But we have to keep that environment clean and pure. We can't make it toxic because things don't grow in a toxic environment. And we have to leave space for it to be able to expand like a beautiful flower, like a garden, so that it can take over the place where it should actually belong. So these are the few challenges that face us. But one of those challenges lies in maintaining that environment. And the way by which that environment is maintained is by maintaining the filters. We have to maintain the filters. We have to guard our eyes from the things we shouldn't see. We have to guard our tongues from the things we shouldn't speak. We have to guard our hands from the things we shouldn't touch. We have to guard our feet from the places where we shouldn't be. And we have to guard our environment from the company that it shouldn't keep. And if we do these few basic things, the natural goodness of Islam will just grow in our hearts. And each day will be better than the next. So that's the challenge that we face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to filter and keep our hearts pure and clean. And may He make us amongst those who are able to grow in our deen. Wa akhiru ta'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salawat.